coming at it. Call Roger. You know, I had an opportunity to be in Montreal in July, I think, of this year. And they had a little thing like, soyez vrai. Let's get real. You know, and that's what happens, you know, for me around here in Narcotics Anonymous. George W., 10 years. That day. That other young lady, 6 months, who was that? Kathy! We do recover. I need to thank the God of my understanding for this precious presence of being here at the Champlain Valley area. Wow. This is special. I was in the middle of a storm when Dave called me with sponsorship. Anybody could identify being a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. It's about growing up, accepting yourself and that newcomer, and guiding them through this recovery process. And boy, that boy, I got one about 3 years, Rick. He's something else, y'all. You need the 12 traditions, the principles, a home group, and a good support group. And we were going at it. Once again, and Dave called and asked me to show up today. And a couple of my mentors always told me, say, Roger, all you do is show up, pray up, and grow up. That's what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. I am nervous. It may not look like it, because I'm trying to be poised up here. But I'm so glad. You can't see my knees. You people have been so warm to me since I got here Friday. Thank you. The workshop that I sneaked in. Thank you. I heard a lot of honesty. Anyone could join us, regardless of what you're going through. We don't have to use. I need to tell you about that little shaky boy that came into Narcotics Anonymous on February 7th, 1989. And I haven't found it necessary to go nowhere else since then. I'm not saying that with a lot of arrogance. I'm saying that with a lot of humility. For that person that may be sitting out there struggling, that may, you know, just haven't gotten that desire to stay here yet, or maybe sitting out there punching holes in what this thing is about because you can't figure it out. I went through that too. But Narcotics Anonymous works. It is an awesome way to live. You know, I'm full of emotion, and I always go to the literature, so bear with me. What's happening is, like, on October 30th, a good friend of mine passed away in New York, Mark K. I thought for that day, in the meditation, I bring mine up here, so I'll say it right, you know, because I'll forget everything, you know. It talks about courage. Our newly found faith served as a firm foundation for courage in the future. Page 93 in the basic text. Narcotics Anonymous is no place for the faint of heart. Facing life on life terms without the use of drugs isn't always easy. Recovery requires more than hard work. It requires a liberal dose of courage. What is courage anyway? A quick look at a dictionary will tell us we have courage when we face and deal with anything that we think of as difficult, dangerous, or painful, rather than withdrawing from it. Courage means being brave, having a purpose, having spirit. So what is courage really? Courage is an attitude, one of perseverance. That's what an addict in recovery really needs, perseverance. We make that commitment to stick with our program, to avoid using no matter what happens. A courageous addict is one who doesn't use, one day at a time, no matter what. And what gives us courage? A relationship with the higher power gives us the strength and the courage to stay clean. We know that. So long as we are in our God's care, we will have the power we need to face life on its own terms. Just for today, I have a higher power who cares for me, no matter what. Knowing that, I will strive to have an attitude of courage today. And it takes a lot of courage to be a messenger in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of honesty. It takes a lot of walking through your fears. And that's what happens, man. So when Mark passed away on like the 30th, it was like, I felt good. Because, you know, Danielle, a couple of Bob, we got together sometime, I forgot, sometime this year. And we caravaned up to Brooklyn and did a hospital there. And we walked in the room and he was laying there and he said, Kiki. And that was special. We talking about living a program. We talking about people going through storms and walking with them through the storm. The next week in Philadelphia, another friend of mine passed away with 5 years clean. And I got in touch with her. I'm one of those addicts how I always had someone to take care of me. But this is the only place I've found where I had to learn how to stand up. I had to learn how to grow up and be responsible for my own existence. And in this place, man, some wonderful things happen when I do that. It was one of those months where, you know, you got our bills here and the income here and it just don't balance. And I'm stomping feet, grunting, complaining every month I go through this because I don't have enough to do what I want to do. And I did the responsible thing that month, paid the bills, and was still pissed, ungrateful. Walked into, you know, one of those experienced members of Narcotics Anonymous with time. When you really don't want to see them, but you're real grateful you ran into them. Man, I'm glad to see you. I'm pissed off. I had to pay all these bills, gas and electric, the simple things like electric, rent, all that stuff. The bare necessities, I'm paying them. And he said, Roger, why don't you be grateful? You have the money to pay the bill. Some people don't have the money to pay their monthly bill. But before I knew it, my feet had me walking toward my buddy's place. He was living with the AIDS virus, and I was fearful of going to visit him, fearful of taking a meeting there because of my self-centered fear, not wanting to see him at a deteriorated state. So I knew it, my feet had me walking there. And when I got there, he was happy. He lit up. He said, Roger, you came to see me. How are you? He's an active, high-spirited guy. Loved to dance, have a good time, real energizer. But that disease that he was living with at the time, it was had him want to be in an isolated state where he didn't want anyone to see him. Our loving and caring friends didn't want to go see him like me. But somehow that day, I got the courage to go see him. He sat there. We cried together. Well, he cried. Because this image. I didn't want to see him, let him see me cry. I don't know what that was all about. But I sat there and we looked through these pictures and reminisced some things and talked about how it was when we would start out, when we started out 5 years ago, making those meetings, telling people you don't have to use under any and all circumstances, walking through the denial, walking through the social acceptability of getting used to this new way of life, wanting to go back to the clubs and kick it out a little bit. And y'all kept telling, oh, stay away from people, places, and things. You go around them, those people will get you high before you get you clean. Stay away from them. You remember that stuff? I didn't understand it. I couldn't figure it out. But my good friend Benjamin, we sat there and we hugged. I left that visit at his home. And I wanted, when I get fearful, I want to sleep it away. If anybody can identify with that. I want to isolate and sleep it away. But somehow these feet again had me walk to a 2 o'clock meeting. And there was this guy, needed a speaker, 11-step meeting. I was feeling real vulnerable, real powerless, like I couldn't do nothing about the situation that was happening. The storm just kept raging. I'm just rocking from here and there, emotional roller coaster up and down, horny as hell, because we ain't getting none. I didn't know what to do, and I showed up at this meeting. My feet walked me to that meeting. The speaker was like, not there. In walked one of my heroes when I was a newcomer about 5 years ago. He had 7 years clean in his program and chose to go use. He had like 60 days clean. And he was in need of a sponsor. He asked me to sponsor. I told him I would sponsor him if he allowed me to. And his program, through the guidance of a sponsor, is making me into a young man that I could say I'm proud of. I'm not in a whole lot of chaos and confusion because I'm learning how to make some healthy decisions for me. I don't have to be a big people pleaser anymore. I learned how to stand on the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. Very lonely sometimes, but I'm at peace. I don't know if you could identify, but at the end of the road, I found myself in a hit house at 56 and Walnut, and had asshole across the wall. And that's exactly what I felt like, because my denial was so thick. I really didn't feel like I had a problem, because I could put on a shirt and tie and a Burberry suit and go to this little job, because I have a degree. And I knew how to get a job with this degree, but this fractured personality that I have and this disease of addiction that I was suffering from, I couldn't keep it. You know how it is when you have, like, somebody told me early, I love you, wherever it was, you have a control problem. Where is he? I hope he's driving. Like, yeah, I get the job 30 days, 60 days. I try to tell the supervisor about how to do the job. And you knew what happened. About 90 days, he told me to be well on my way. So it was a lot of patterns of that. You know, I found myself, man, with two jobs at the end of the road. And the next day after payday, I didn't have enough, like $1.50, to get back to my desk. That was the end of the road for me. All the different places, all the different lovers, all the different things I had done, I was tired. I was sick and tired. And I had to look for a new way to live. It didn't matter that I have a loving and caring family that always enabled me. I just didn't like what I had become. It's in February in Philadelphia, it's cold. I was standing there at a payphone with a pair of holy burgundy Stacy Adams with the Philadelphia Inquirer stuffed up in them that I had stole from my father. Made a collect call to my girlfriend in Tallahassee and told her, say, look, these people talking about maybe you can go to these rehabilitation centers. I'm not going to no, sending my money to go to no rehabilitation center. In denial, I ain't had no money. But rationalize and justify, I wasn't going to even spend the state of Pennsylvania little welfare card to go to one of those facilities. Because I was from one of those families that told me I could pull myself up by my bootstraps and get my life together. The disease that I suffered from, this disease of addiction, the obsession and the compulsion, I couldn't do that. The only thing that has worked for me is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. The only thing that I want in my gut is another day of freedom. Narcotics Anonymous is about desperate dying addicts helping each other get another day of freedom. We stay around here a couple minutes, but that's our purpose, y'all. Reaching out, sharing, exchanging, giving of ourselves through the struggle of learning how to give of ourselves and be there for somebody else. And it's a struggle on a lot of days. They talk about the joy within. I'm talking about this is an inside, outside job. It got to a point at the end of the road where the outfits didn't fit no more, the pieces didn't fit no more, I couldn't sex it up no more. Because see, I know what my first step is. See, a lot of people may not accept what that first step is. That first step, man, it's like, boy, you got to admit that you can't use. I am truly powerless over the disease of addiction, and my life is unmanageable. That was cute. My life was unbearable. I did not like what I had become. I looked like a little raisin. You know the little raisin box? All gray. And at the time, it was like man in the mirror. He was playing that, making that money. I couldn't look in the mirror. That's why I say, this is the precious present to stand here this morning. And Sunday was a miserable, miserable day for me. Because payday was Monday. Have you ever gotten high with someone like you spent all your money on payday, and they promised you on their payday they were going to turn you on. Oh yeah, that's my boy. Yeah, I'm turning you on. Before I knew it, all mine was gone on that Monday. And I had to live and look forward to that Friday when the school district got paid. And you knew what happened. A good suffering addict, caught up in the grip. I started like Wednesday, cleaning up the utensils, farting, with the anticipation of what was going to happen on Friday. And she would come in there, and she'd give me one yellow bag. That was degradation for me. That was humiliation for me. And all weekend long, I would see her and her man getting high in and out of this house where I was paying them this $300 for rent. But they rent this little room. But I sat there and I prayed one night and I told myself, God help me. This is a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. But I said, God help me. And he helped me by sending me to this facility, and I heard the message of hope. That's why I'm not intimidated wherever I go. Regardless of your age, your race, your sex, your sexual preference, your color, we don't care. Here in Narcotics Anonymous, anyone can join. So don't be intimidated by nobody with no big mouth, because they turn your nose up at you for a little bit of time. Go hug them anyway. Make them talk to you anyway. Make them practice principles anyway. When they don't even want to. Because see, when you be assertive like that, you're the one that gets the blessing. I've gone through some storms like that. And you know what has happened? It has made me a better person. I told you about the guy that couldn't look in the mirror. But I could look you square in the eye, George W., and say, congratulations, 10 years. The sister was 6 months, congratulations. I could look my friends and I and let you know I need help in this area. I need to let you know that I need people in my life because I'm fearful on most days. I feel like I have low self-esteem. I don't feel like I have nothing to give. I feel like like you say, self-acceptance is a problem for most addicts. It's uncomfortable on a lot of days when I don't have that special one there just for me. But that one person who's always there, that's that loving and caring higher power that meets me at the level of my needs. You know what, last winter it was a rough, rough storm. I think it was like 18 snowstorms in Philadelphia, so it was rough on the East Coast. And we got this little book, y'all. This is the World Time Wide book. And I told you I was horny, because wasn't nobody giving me none, and HP wasn't allowing no situations for me to manipulate and talk that soft, sweet stuff to nobody to come on in. You know, I'm talking about being real lonely. And it's cold. And I had to sit and rock with this at work time wife. I had to rock with it. Because what was happening was, it was time for me to grow up. I'm talking about 5 years clean and still struggling in the area of self-acceptance. Always trying to come outside of my self-centeredness and look for something or someone to fill the void. No, it don't work like that. I'm going to go to this literature. Page 112 in this book. 11th step. We see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. And a willful guy like me, for over 21 years, self-will running right, had to come in here and surrender. Come to believe in a power greater than my sick thinking and make a decision to turn my will and my life over to a loving and caring God. Because see, when I'm in his care, I'm better off. I don't know if you can identify being so willful where everything you try, every situation that you go through, it just don't work. beat your head up against the wall. I wanted that, like the third step for me was like, Roger, you can't sit in the back seat of the car. You really can't sit to the right of the driver because I'm going to try to tell you to go left and when you really want needs to be going right. I'm the type of addict where I got to like get up in the trunk, stay in the trunk, and do God's will. Because other than that, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to throw my stuff up in it, and it's going to be all messed up. And it talks about in that third step how the proof of that step is in the way we live. It's meaningless unless we walk this program. I'm not impressed by the loud talkers and this powerful message and all that. No. It's how you're treating people. As if you're answering the phone when people call you. If you're being there for that addict going through that situation and you got experience with it. If you're coming in the room, being visible and available and telling them your experience with it. Not to bring all that therapeutic stuff in there. That ain't what we're about. I'm not impressed because you got your degree and you got your therapeutic position. Leave it outside. When you come in the room to Narcotics Anonymous, you're just a basic, ordinary addict. So, the addict that we are, we could easily be that. I'm not prime purpose.
Hug that newcomer. Ask them for their number. Call them. I live like that. It ain't that bad. They love me like that. Experienced members love me like that. Because I told you, I made them hug me. It's like, oh, you know, he's... I don't see well. These things are thick, y'all. Even though they're black. They're thick. I don't see well. But I hear them. And I walk up to him and...
Oh, you know, he's... You have something else to say to me? Oh, no, Roger, I don't have nothing else to say. Yeah, you keep coming right to be.
And nobody run you out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I like that. I don't think I ever seen that when anyone could join it.
Thanks, Lord, wherever he at. Anyone could join it. I don't know why I keep going over there, because it's real. On a lot of days, man, I never know how my God is going to use me. I have no idea the places that I show up and the people that I meet. You know, I had spent like a year of... Because I'm HIV positive, right? And I had to go educate myself about that disease. I was ripping and running for Narcotics Anonymous, you know, 5 years in a row, and being there for everybody, spending all my food stamps and stuff, traveling and doing all this. That's not recovery, honey. It's about getting responsible. It's about showing up and growing up. And in showing up, I had to do some things. I had to go inward and educate myself about that disease, because they were saying, you need to take this stuff over here. The doctor was saying that. And then this alternative stuff looked kind of good. And then the addict, like I am very vain. I have a healthy fear of deteriorating. And then I met my good friend Bob, and he's like, oh, Roger, I'm going to be there for you. Oh, that's a big deal, honey. I'm holding you through that too, you know. But people have been there for me. You know what has happened, y'all? It's like, I just took a break from this one job of stressing me out and doing that, and I had to take care of me. And in taking care of me, I got in touch how easily I can get addicted to things. Things for things. That's how my disease come at me now. It's not about going and picking up a chemical. It's that good feeling. That first shot, it starts with the first kiss. I'm like, on it. Oh, you want me? And I'm all caught up. A thing for thing, an outfit, a shopping spree, a convention, a trip, or something. And I had to check myself. I had to take my inventory. Say, Roger, that's not what it's about. It's about being responsible, standing up, and being responsible for your own existence and growing up. And in growing up in this new way of life, y'all, I took this time off, and what happened was that God, of my understanding, met me at the level of my needs. Through all my manipulation, through all my insanity, because I'm not one of those guys that's going to tell you because you get 5 years clean, everything is going to be hunky-dory. 5 years clean, you can be judgmental, you're very critical, you really don't want nobody to tell you nothing because you think you know everything. And it's real hard to be open for this act. So what I was doing, I was caught up in my greed, my manipulation, my dishonesty. And I had to accept that I had some defects of character that's not about what we're about. Oh, you're on area level. Know what happens on area level when you don't have any integrity and character in your program? We act out on defect. The subcommittee that saved my life, hospitals and institutions. You know, I love it. I never would have heard the message if it wasn't for that subcommittee. I was a trusted servant in my area. Very crusty. Walked off with this $160 of NA money. It was hard money to replace. I wanted high. I ran all the way to Baltimore, hiding out with my friends. But through sponsorship, my sponsors told me, said, look, ain't no sense you hiding the fuck out there in Baltimore. You might as well come on back and get responsible and pay that money and let them know and you just can't accept no trusted servant positions involving NA money. Because you spend your money, NA money, grandma money, everybody money. So don't go out on that ego zeal like you can do everything in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because it comes a time in your program where it just don't sit right. It don't feel right. You develop a conscience, there's certain things that you just can't do. Of course I got the judgment call. Of course people didn't like the idea that I stayed visible and available because my sponsor suggested that carrying the message was showing up and telling the truth about what I did. Not about trying to sound good because I can go and share and care everywhere else. It's about standing right there and taking full responsibility for my mistake. That's the confidence right there because I'm making my mistakes right in here. And I got response. I cried. I got in a fetal position because I was humiliated. But I didn't use. Those people who judged me, I hugged them anyway. Made them practice principles. Talked to them anyway. Whether they wanted to or not. Because I know what the program of Narcotics Anonymous has done in my life. I keep showing up. I'm growing up. And when I did that, it was a good feeling. I show up at my home group on Friday night, stepping into surrender at 8 o'clock in the northwest area of the Sea of Brotherly Love. And I be there for that newcomer. Greet them and let them know somebody in NA believes in you and wants to help you in your recovery. I be there for my sponsors and I be there for my sponsors. I'm not the guy that's going to judge you because I'm real careful by how I point the finger because before it comes back at me, I may not be able to handle it when it comes back. Because at 2 years clean, I was real hard on the people with time. I hated people with time by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm sorry. I really did. Because I was so self-doubt. I hated you because my self-centeredness was, here I am coming out of a closed facility with 101 days clean, and I really felt you were supposed to come and get me out of an active addiction. That's not how it works. I had to go through what I had to go through, do whatever I had to do. In that moment of silence, that's when you were doing your part for me to come in here and get that one day of freedom. That's all we have to do. I don't have to go around people facing the things. I don't have to go around the people that's doing the lot of insane, crazy stuff. I just have to have that moment of silence. Prayer works. That action of prayer, some wonderful things happen. Hey, let the miracle happen. Hey, y'all, it happened. I waved my hand. Somebody out here got less than 101 days. You're at a convention. You should be grateful. I couldn't do that. I was beat up, dusty, and desperate for a new way to live. But when I came out that facility, I waved my hand, and I told them I was new. I was scared. They told me to keep coming back. Of course, I got an attitude. They're getting smart. I thought they were supposed to help me. They said, keep coming back. And through keep coming back, I started wanting to get to the table and tell my story. That happened in 6 months. I got involved in service at H&I and started chairing meetings and taking them back into the facility. Still involved in that. That's why they tell you about getting in the middle of this thing, be a part of. You can stand around on the edge and worry about this and worry about that. You may fall out. But see, if you jump in the middle of this thing, well, you'll fall a little bit here, a little bit there, Kimberly. You'll be all right. You'll hold on. And then somebody be there to bring you and protect you. But if you're dancing around the edge, playing risky, crazy stuff, you may fall out and it may take a little while longer to get back in here. I don't have a lot of experience, or no experience in physical relapse since I've been here. But I've gone through a lot of emotional and spiritual stuff. I've gone through the struggles of doing my will, not accepting life on life terms. But once I accept and surrender, my God's will is going to be done. And it's a lot of peace comes. That's when the peace comes for me, when I surrender. I don't have to control. I don't have to manipulate situations or figure stuff out no more. I don't have to have the best laid plans. Because the God of my understanding, He's working it out. You know, He's not going to let me fall. You know, it's something like, you know, if you just, He ain't going to let your foot slip, Roger. But before you slip, you got to fall. But if you do what you need to do, if you keep showing up, you come outside of your self-centeredness and be there for somebody else, He'll meet you at the level of your need. That's what I'm talking about. Letting the miracle happen. Surrender. You don't have to try to figure out the recovery process in one night. You don't have to know everything in 24 hours or less. If you keep coming back, more will be revealed about the process. More will be revealed about who you really are. You got to do the work. Get the mask out to go. Yeah, that's it. And in doing the work, the program kicks in. We start getting honest with you. Roger's not so much about me getting honest with you guys. It's about that self-honesty. Me having the humility to accept me, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and all of that. And that's when I grow up. That's when I stand up and have the respect and let people know, man, Steve, I'm glad you're here in my life. It's good to see you. I need the support. Because this is a struggle some days of coming in here taking a risk. It said that in the Testimony of David. Yeah. We don't have to be perfect. We're human. We take risks and we grow. If you're not taking any risk, you're all perfect with your mold mind, Roger, of what's going on, and a whole lot of growing going on. I'm growing up. I'm standing up, and I'm delivering my God's message. And that's the miracle happening in my life. I wanted to, like, you know, just wanted to do a group. Then I wanted to do an anniversary. Then they called me to do a convention. I don't audition and all that stuff to come here. I don't have to manipulate situations and promote myself over the world of Narcotics Anonymous. That's not what it's about for me. Somebody heard me. Somebody called me. I showed up. Because we all have something valuable to share. We all got a message. All we have is our story. All we have is our experiences. Don't deny yourself or no one their experience. It's not about enabling people to do that. It's about letting people go through and grow through their own experiences so they can be able to tell their story. It's not about me parroting Francine today. I don't have to parrot people today. You are you and I am me. And it's such a blessing. It's such a gift to be able to come here and tell you about me. And if I'm not here parroting and mimicking somebody else's story because I heard your case, no. I need to tell you the real deal. I need to talk about the struggle. I need to tell you about the shame, the guilt, the nights of standing there on those corners, on those nights of the meat racks and standing there waiting for one more car to come by because I was caught up in the grip. And I was trapped by the need of instant gratification. And I wanted one warm body to just be there. I wanted one more hit. And the only way I knew how to get it was to go in prostitution. And I think I look fairly good. Even though I was looking like a raisin, I still thought I was, you know, I still thought I was lovely, Tom. You know, I thought I was all that. And that denial and that rationalization, it kept me out there for over 21 years. But when I heard that message of hope, y'all, that desire was planted. It was like, hey, there's a loving and caring society of men and women outside this facility, Roger, that's waiting for you. They're going to hug you. They're going to love you. They're going to love you till you learn how to love yourself. And they've done that for me. If you haven't met those kind of people yet, keep coming back. Keep reaching out. Keep going inward. When the struggles in relationships come up, it's time for you to work with the sponsor. Don't worry about, but he's getting on my nerves. She's not doing this. But what is the part you're playing in? I have to accept on most days, man, that regardless of what's going on with me, it begins and ends with me. What's the part I played in? What's the exact nature of my wrong? Come on, you bum. Tell the truth. What'd you do this time? Did you hurt anybody? Did you harm anybody with you being impatient and intolerant? That self-centered fear, what did you do? Take a look at it. You gotta become entirely ready. Ain't no character in being no defect walking around here. Oh, I'm clean. That's about it. No change, no recovery. It's real. It's not about perpetrating today. Our life is on the line. Can you really identify with living to use and using to live? I mean, being caught up. And then, you know, I'm talking about that hopeless state of not thinking you're going to get out of it. Feeling like you just can't do nothing. Like that was the only way you just couldn't get out. I was caught up like that. But there was a way out. The Narcotic Anonymous program. Roger, surrender your will. Get with the program. When you get with the program and get with living the program, you start developing some compassion. You start getting a little patient and tolerant. When that newcomer comes on the other end and call you, or that sponsor call you, you take the time to listen. Not be closed-minded. Well, I really want to go back and watch Northern Exposure because that's my favorite show. You know, I ain't from Northern. I really, you know, but it's real relaxing for me. Monday night at 10 o'clock, I watch Northern Exposure. I really don't want nobody to call me at 10 o'clock. Out of my mind. But when I came around here 4 o'clock in the morning, when I would have dreams, I thought I had you. I wake up the phone. You people told me to call you. I go to my face and text. Oh, I'm calling so-and-so. Excuse me. Wake him up. Roger, he's asleep. I'm sorry. Wake him up. I got to talk to him right now. That I felt to the neck of vultures was riding my back. I didn't know any way out. I didn't know how I was going to get another damn freedom. So I call you. Yeah, men with men. Women with women. It works. And I didn't know where I fit in. They were gorgeous. I had to call them. Had to suppress my little hormones and stuff. They're teaching me how to become a man. You know what I mean? It's real. They're not talking as much about me. They know that Roger, he's crazy. Because they know I'm crazy about recovery. If they're not standing up doing the right thing for the right reason, I call them on their stuff. They love me anyway. But the blessing is, man, we'd be there for each other. That's the unity. I mean, I'm talking about growing up in South Florida where the coldest it gets is like 50 degrees and then you show off your little leather. I mean, Vermont is cold, I think. They were laughing at me the other night because I bought this little, it was a big coat. They told me it made snow. I said, I'm breaking my coat. I'm going to be warm. So I want to see Vermont. It's nice here. I'm coming back. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's real here. Only in L.A. The miracle happens when we build intimate relationships with people. When we exchange intimacy. Don't give me the surface stuff. I can't help you. I give you the real deal so I can get the real help. I sat last night at the banquet. That was awesome, man. You know. And I was like, oh, I just think the obsession and the compulsion took me 18 months for me to like want to be lifted because I was that sick. And I was like, oh, the guy said 16 months. Oh, I said, oh, you're just getting to the 18 months for the obsession to be lifted. He said, my obsession was lifted a long time ago. I said, there goes the newcomer straightening me out. Straightening me out. Because your experience is 18 months. Everybody experienced they like yours, Roger. I loved it. He straightened me out. Call people on their stuff. We can't let each other die in here. Because we need each other. Because our life is on the line. We let the miracle happen when we come to each other and be there for each other. And that's what the joy just exudes. You know, love. I was like walking yesterday, and it was just a good feeling in and out of these little places. You know, helping my good friend spend his money. You know what I'm saying? It's like a good feeling. You know, oh, you should get this. This is nice. I ain't got no money to shop. That's not why I'm here. I saw a shirt I wanted. Yeah, I want that shirt. I like that shirt. Where'd you get it from? because I'm still addicted to nice things. And the blessing is the new way of life, the joy, man, is like we have each other, and I can get addicted to being there for you and forget about me. I'm learning how to stand up for me. I don't have to be that big people pleaser no more. If you want to come around this new way of life and just be absent, God bless you too. It makes me real uncomfortable when I'm around people. But I still got to love them too. Because they love me. I can't character assassinate you because you're living in the defects or whatever yours may be. Maybe you're not beating up enough. I'm beating up. I'm at the end of the road. So I keep showing up. I keep growing up. I keep standing up. And I keep standing on the principle of honesty. The open-mindedness. It's what you've experienced. I can be open to your experience, and I can be willing to change, so I don't have to go through that insanity. I can be patient with other people. I can be considerate. I can be compassionate. I can be tolerant. Tolerance for an addict like me, who always wants what he wants when he wants it. People are patient with me. People are tolerating me. That's how I get the help. It's only through God's grace. And don't get it twisted about this God thing. They make me sick with that. Come on. God for me is real, okay? This here. Stand clean on the outside panel. This is God. Number one. Don't use no matter what. Go to an NA meeting. Ask your higher power to keep you clean today. Call your sponsor. Read NA literature. Talk to other recovering addicts. Work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. That's God. Good orderly direct. Shut up. God right there. Good orderly direction. And it worked. I told you I was shaky. Fear had paralyzed me. I couldn't see my way out of feeling good, looking good, telling you the truth about me, the pain, the shame, the guilt stuff that I had done in an act of addiction. I could tell you today. I could look you square now, and you could ask me almost anything. Yeah, anything. Really, no, almost. Come on with it. If you want to know, ask if it's about me, I'll tell you the truth about me. Only way I can keep what I have is by giving it away. No shortcuts. Because somewhere down the line, it's not going to work. The true self-acceptance comes in when I let you know. I don't like it when I can't be myself. It's about being yourself around here. And in being yourself, man, you feel good about who you are and how the God of your understanding is working in your life. I'm not living in fear no more. Running around here perpetrating. We don't have to hypocrite, you know, big hypocrite clean. Tell the truth. The humility comes in and you'll be all right. I can take my spot check inventory. Humbly admit when I'm wrong, admit completely be wrong, I'm wrong. Will you please forgive me properly? Let you know I made a mistake. This is exactly what I did wrong. Then I can surrender all over again through prayer and meditation. I can just pray to the God of my understanding and just wait on his answer in the meditation process. Boy, I meditated. Boy, many of y'all worked it out. It was a view, y'all. Then I thought I was special. I was telling Sandy, oh, the view is like here. Oh, Roger, you have the same view we have. Miss Wendy straightened me out. You, Roger, we have the same view. You're not unique, okay? You got the same view. But it's a view like the lake. Oh, it's awesome. Look that way if you don't have a room yet or what. But look that way. It's real. The meditation, the feeling that I felt, it's like, yeah. This is the precious present right here, this moment. Regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of life on life terms, hold your head up high. Grab somebody. Grab someone in NA who believes in you. They will walk with you through whatever you're going through. Those are the winners. What can I do, man? Just keep showing up. Keep growing up and keep being there for other people. Because we have something valuable to stand on. This new way of life, it's in us. One of the blessings about this new way of life is you gotta want it. You gotta want it in your gut. And in staying around here a little over 5 years, it's like, I want it in my gut. It's not... It's not about coming from the head no more. Because see, when I'm up in the head, man, I'm all caught up in the will for nature. But when I'm in the heart and connecting with another loving and caring spirit, that's what it's all about. You can sit back and hug yourself and hug that other being and say, everything will be all right. This new way of life is awesome. I don't know if I made any sense. I don't know if I rambled. But I know I tried to take a risk and share a piece of me with you. And that's the eternal exchange. That's the miracle that happens in my life on a daily basis. It leads me to a lot of wonderful places. It leads me to a lot of wonderful spirits that are about the same thing I'm about. The common bond of staying clean. The common bond of doing the right thing for the right reason. Knowing our common bond is we only have one thing in common. I don't care if you from a penthouse or a row house or an alley. We got something in common. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We got something in common. That disease of addiction, it kicks. And we're here together to do something special, be there for each other, and grow up and stand up. I need to thank the Champlain Valley area of Narcotics Anonymous, 5th Convention. The joy within that the miracle happened. But let me come here and share a piece of me. But let the miracle happen this morning. It's happening. This precious presence of looking at you, of meeting and getting a piece of you, the sincere respect and this atmosphere of recovery that you have presented right here is overwhelming. I love you. I like you. I'm glad we have each other in our lives. And we do recover. I'm an addict called Roger. Thanks for letting me share.